This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ويقول الإنسان أإذا ما مت لسوف أخرج حيا أولا يذكر الإنسان أنا خلقناه من قبل ولم يك شيئا فوربك لنحشرنهم والشياطين ثم لنحضرنهم حول جهنم جثيا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ما بعد. So we are now resuming our Day of Judgment series. For those of you that are watching this live, you know that we took a bit of a break because of Hajj and other things going on. For those of you that are watching many, many months or years from now and just watching continuously, make dua for all of us, and I make dua for you as well. So we are now resuming after a bit of a hiatus. So for those of you that are watching regularly, I do need to pause here and do a quick recap that alhamdulillah, in the last so many lectures, we have done quite a lot of stages and details of the Day of Judgment, from the actual resurrection of from the grave to the buruz, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the presentation. We have done the hisab, or the actual judgment. We have done the issue of the scrolls, the issue of the mizan, the opportunity for excuse. Last lessons we did the hawd, or the drinking from the fountain of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so all of this has now come, and according to our knowledge of what we have in the Quran and Sunnah, we're getting to the end of what we know of what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. We're basically winding down here and getting to the next stage. And the next stage is, of course, going to be Jannah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal for that. Or we seek Allah's refuge, Jahannam. And the beginnings of that winding down are going to take place by gathering people according to the camps that they were in. And so what's going to happen is the demarcation of various groups of people, the segregation or the separation of groups of people. And the believers will be one group, and all of those who believed in other gods, they would be resurrected in accordance with the gods that they believed in. I.e., on that day, at this time frame, people will be separated based upon their gods, which is based upon their religions. And therefore, this will demonstrate for us the real separation. And those who worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who rejected the worship of Allah, they will be separated from the believers. And the Quran mentions that they will then be, and we mentioned this previously, that they will be dragged on their faces to Jahannam. There will come a point in time where they will be made blinded and deaf and dumb. There will come a point in time where their senses will be operating. Again, I explained in previous lectures that there will possibly be variations during that time frame. And they're going to feel Jahannam, sense Jahannam, see Jahannam. They will beg Allah Azza wa Jal to come back at that stage again. And they will also, at that stage as well, they will regret. قَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا. That they're going to regret, how woe to us, how we wish we can go back in this world and that we don't have to see all of this punishment. And each group will be resurrected following its gods and its leaders, the false gods and the false leaders. Every single group shall be resurrected based upon the people whom they looked up to, the religions that they followed, the gods that they worship. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this multiple times in the Quran, and it is mentioned in the Sunnah as well. For example, in Surah Saffat, verse 22, أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَهْدُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطِ الْجَحِيمِ. Gather and resurrect those who did wrong to themselves and their helpers, and gather them with those whom they worship besides Allah, and then usher them into Jahannam. فَهْدُوا مِلَى صِرَاطِ الْجَحِيمِ وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّ مَسْئُولُونَ, and cause them to stop. They will be questioned about what they have done. And Allah mentions in the Quran about the people of Fir'aun in Surah Hud, verse 98.
يَقُدُمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأُرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ.
He shall lead his people on the Day of Judgment, and their end result is going to be the fire of hell. He shall lead the people. يَقُدُمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So Fir'aun is going to be the leader of his people
Anybody who looked up to Fir'aun, anybody who worshipped Fir'aun, anybody who took Fir'aun as a false god, anybody who followed that religion will be resurrected upon the leaders of that religion, and their false gods will be there as well. Those who worship the sun, those who worship the moon, they will see either the actual sun and moon or a replica of that, and they're going to be told to go to that area. Those who worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal will be resurrected according to their false gods. And what I wanted to do today, and alhamdulillah, one of the things that I thank Allah for, that when we have these types of classes in my lengthy series, that I'm not pressured for time. And so we can discuss things that are relevant without having to worry about, oh, I have to finish this and whatnot. No. Today, inshallah ta'ala, what I'm going to discuss one of the most important traditions about the Day of Judgment in detail. And I've done this in previous lectures as well. And today we're going to do one of those as well. It is a muttafaq alayh Bukhari and Muslim hadith. And it is the lengthy hadith from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala an, that describes multiple things about the Day of Judgment. And we have discussed bits and portions of it from the beginning, and we have left certain things to the end. So today I wanted to pause here and do this entire hadith from the words of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then inshallah in our next lesson, we shall resume the next stage, which is going to be the issue of the sirat, or the issue of crossing over the bridge. So today's lecture is about the division of mankind and what's going to happen. And this hadith in particular, even though it talks about other things, but it spends the most amount of time talking about these divisions. And it is a hadith reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri in Bukhari and Muslim. And I will be narrating the version in Sahih Muslim, and in my edition, it is hadith number 453. That Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, أَنَّ نَاسًا فِي زَمَنِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَلْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. A group of people asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will we see Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, you shall. And then he said that هَلْ تُضَارُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَةِ الشَّمْسِ بِالظَّهِيرَةِ صَحْوًا لَيْسَ مَعَهَا سَحَابٌ. Do you have any problem seeing the sun in the full midday and there's no clouds? Is there any problem to notice the sun over there? In the middle of the day, there's no clouds, it's shining bright. How can anybody not see the sun? They said, of course not, we see the sun. Then he said, do you have a problem seeing the full moon in the middle of the month and there's no clouds? So in the 15th of the month, the 14th of the month, the full moon is there, there's no clouds. Do you have a problem? They said, no. And so our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, in the same way, you shall have no problems looking at Allah, ru'yat Allahi tabaraka wa ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment. Just like you can sense the sun and the moon, you see it over there. Nobody's going to be jostling and shoving and fighting. There's no issue. Everybody can equally see the sun and moon. And so too, everybody will equally see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنَ. When it will be the Day of Judgment, a person shall proclaim, or an entity shall proclaim, most likely an angel, لِتَتَّبِعْ كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ مَا كَانَتْ تَعْبُدْ. Let every group follow what it used to worship. Notice this hadith. Let every group follow what it used to worship. And so no one shall be left, because everybody worships something. Even if they worship themselves, if they rejected God, they're worshiping themselves. Even atheists have something they look up to. They have something that they consider sacred. And so everybody shall be divided based upon that which they used to worship. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those who worship idols and stones besides Allah Azza wa Jal, they will follow them into Jahannam. Until who will be left? The only people that will be left are those who لم يبقى إلا من كان يعبد الله من بر أو فاجر وفاجر وغبر أهل الكتاب. None shall be left except those who used to worship Allah, the righteous and the sinful. So sinful Muslims shall remain with the righteous Muslims, because in the end of the day, their God was one, their religion was one, their Lord was one. So right now they're all going to be together. And remnants of the people of the book, وَغُبَّرَ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, that there's going to be some people of the people of the book as well, are going to be left. Not all of them. Why not all of them? Our scholars have differed. Some have said that the people that will be left over here are those that are not the correct people, i.e. so we believe as Muslims that the Ahli Kitab were righteous and they worshipped Allah properly, and in their time frames they were rightly guided. So those of them are separate. the real followers of Jesus, the real followers of Moses, the righteous amongst them who believed in their appropriate time frames, right? Because again, every prophet comes and cancels the previous prophet's meaning that he supersedes them. So we believe that the righteous Jews in the time of Musa are Muslims, and the righteous Christians in the time of Isa are Muslims. So they shall be with us. They shall be with the righteous, or they shall be in a group with their prophets. How about those that were not righteous and they rejected the next prophet? So this is then those people. So we're talking about those who were not righteous to Allah, not faithful to Allah, and rejecting the prophets of Allah. They shall remain, and the Muslims shall remain, and the idolaters have now been taken to Jahannam. Then the Yahud are going to be asked, what did you used to worship? And so they would say, we worshipped Uzair, the son of Allah. And so it will be said to them, you are lying. Allah does not have a partner or a child. And they shall then be dragged into Jahannam. And the Christians, the Nasara, are going to be asked that, what did you used to worship? So they will say, we used to worship Al-Masih ibn Allah. And so it will be said to them, you are lying, that Allah did not have a son nor a partner. And they too will be dragged into punishment. And then what will happen? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Then no one will be left except the believers, as the hadith says here, except those who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَتَاهُمْ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي أَدْنَى سُورَةٍ مِنَ الَّتِي رَأَوْهُ فِيهَا, that their Lord shall come to them in a form that is the least recognizable. Now, the issue of the coming of Allah, I have mentioned this a few lectures ago. I have mentioned the controversy amongst mainstream Sunnism. We have those who affirmed it literally. We have those who said Allah knows only and we're not going to even think about it. We have those who affirmed it metaphorically. And all of these we find precedents in the 3rd, 4th, 5th centuries in this regard. And the safest, I have already explained, is that we narrate these hadith and we don't think too deeply about them. They are authentic. They are from the wordings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those whom he spoke these ahadith to understood generically the words that are being used, and they did not question the details of how and why. So that is the best iman, and we should stick with that level. And Allah azza wa jalla knows best. And so their Lord shall come to them in the least recognizable fashion, i.e., they will not recognize that this is their Lord. And their Lord will say, "What are you waiting for?" And they will respond, "We are waiting for our Lord. We are waiting for our Lord." And so Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, "Ana Rabbukum," I am your Lord. And they will not recognize it. And so they will say, "Na'udhu billahi mink," we seek Allah's refuge. And whatever, they will not think this to be Allah. We seek Allah's refuge from you. We will never worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they will assume that this entity is other than Allah, and they shall mistakenly, they're turning to Allah is correct, they shall turn to Allah against this entity, not knowing that the entity is in fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, by the way. And Allah will then ask them, "Is there a sign that you shall recognize, that you shall know that this is your Lord?" And so they say, "Yes, there is a sign. There is something that we know, that when we see it, this will be our Lord." فَيُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ. Now this is another one of those phrases that has been interpreted radically differently amongst scholars in the 3rd, 4th, 5th century. And from that time, we have these various strands. So, فَيُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ, it is a phrase. And the phrase has a literal meaning and it has a metaphorical meaning. The literal meaning is that the shin shall be displayed. The shin is the area of a human being. It is beneath the knee and above the foot. That's the shin. So the word saq is the shin. Yukshafu an saq, the shin shall be displayed. Now, this is the literal meaning. The phrase yukshafu an saq also has a metaphorical meaning in the Arabic language, which is well known in poetry. And in pre-Islamic and early language. And it is the same as when you say in English, for example, that he was caught red-handed, right? There is an expression, he was caught red-handed. And the meaning, as you all know, is he was caught guilty. It doesn't mean his hands were red. So the phrase yukshafu an saq also has this interpretation. And therefore, from the beginning of our theological debates, not from the beginning of Islam, because the Sahaba and tabi'un, by and large, they didn't really think about these attributes in that depth and that level, and they accepted the outer meanings of it. So one group understands this to be literal, and they say that Allah Azza wa Jal will display the saq, his saq. And others understand it to be metaphorical, and the meaning here is that things will become clear. This is what the metaphorical meaning is that things will become clear, or the matter will become settled, the issue is going to reach the level of a level of certainty. This is how they interpret yukshafu an saq. And when that happens, when the yukshafu an saq happens, no one who used to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world of his own accord shall remain standing. When they recognize this to be Allah, everybody shall fall down in sajda. This is what the hadith is saying. None shall remain standing that used to worship Allah Azza wa Jal upon iman and upon ikhlas. They shall all fall down in sajda. However, those who used to worship Allah to show off to others, those who used to prostrate out of fear of the people, out of showing off, they will not be able to prostrate. And their backs will become straight. And when they try to prostrate, they will fall flat onto their faces. Or they will fall flat onto their backs. They will not be able to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is the separation of the munafiqoon, the hypocrites, from the righteous and the sinful. So we have three categories in this group of people. In this dunya, they all were called Muslims. So in the akhirah, they will be resurrected as one group. Within Muslims, there will be three categories. The first are the righteous, the people of taqwa and iman, ahl al-birr. The second are going to be the fajir, the evil sinners. They're Muslims, but they have committed murder. They have not worshipped Allah properly, and they still say the kalima. So this is the fajir. And the third is the munafiq, the hypocrite, and that is the worst of the three. So according to this narration, the Muslim, the mu'min, and the fajir will be able to prostrate to Allah, and the munafiq, the hypocrite, will not be able to prostrate to Allah, and that person will fall back onto their backs so that they will be exposed in front of the people. And when they raise their heads up again, ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ رُؤُسَهُمْ وَقَدْ تَحَوَّلَ فِي صُورَتِهِ الَّتِي رَأَوْهُ فِيهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal will now appear to them in the form or fashion when they first saw Him. In other words, when the buruz took place. So the hadith begins, you shall see your Lord. How we see Him, what is all of this is beyond our knowledge. The hadith mentions that Allah will come to them and they will not recognize Allah. When the sign happens, the yukshafu an saq happens, and of course this is in the Quran, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. This is explicit in the Quran, in Surah Al-Qiyamah, by the way, it's very explicit. On that day, the shin will be exposed, or the other translation, which is, again, I don't prefer that translation, but it is there in our classical scholars, Ibn Fawrak, and you have Al-Bayhaqi and Al-Baqillani and Al-Juwayni and Al-Ghazali, they interpreted it that way. And then of course the first school are Ibn Khuzaymah and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and those that followed the Athari interpretation. They have the literal understanding. And then the other school, it understands it metaphorically, that the matter will be made clear, that the sign will be done. What is that sign? We do not know according to the second school. According to the first school, the sign is to see the shin of the Rabb and Allah Azza wa Jal. So when they prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they then raise their heads up. And then what will happen? They will now recognize Allah Azza wa Jal, because He shall appear to them in the same surah, in the same fashion or manner that they first saw Him at the very beginning of the Day of Judgment. And so now they recognized Him. فَيَقُولُونَ أَنْتَ رَبُّنَا. And so they're going to say, you are our Lord. We recognize you to be our Lord. Okay? So this is now the separation. What's going to happen after this? ثُمَّ يُضْرَبُ الْجِسْرُ عَلَى جَهَنَّمُ. Then the jisr, or the bridge, will be placed over Jahannam. The bridge will be set up over Jahannam. So, and وَتَحِلُّ الشَّفَاعَ. An intercession will begin. I'm going to, when we finish the hadith, I'm going to extract some benefits from it. So now just bear with me. وَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُمَّ سَلِّمْ سَلِّمْ. And the people will say, O Allah, we ask for your safety. O Allah, we ask for your safety. Sallim, sallim. Keep us safe, keep us safe. They said, O Messenger of Allah, what is this bridge? Maljisr. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ضحدٌ مَزِلَّةٌ فِيهِ خَطَاطِيفٌ وَكَلَالِيبٌ وَحَسَكٌ تَكُونُ بِنَجْدٍ فِيهَا شُوَيْكَةٌ يُقَالُ لَهَا السَّعْدَانِ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the bridge is something that is not steady and firm, but rather it is like a void that you can slip off of. The bridge is not something that is steady and firm. He described the bridge with adjectives. He did not describe the essence of the bridge. He described the qualities of the bridge. And inshallah ta'ala, the next lesson will be about the bridge or the sirat or the jisr. All of this will be next lesson. Today we're just going over this hadith. So the Prophet ﷺ said, it is the bridge that is the void. ضحضٌ مَزِلَّ. ضحض means that which is not firm. مَزِلَّ means you're going to slip on it. You can easily slip and fall down. So it's neither is it firm, nor can you put your feet on it, you're going to easily slip. فِيهِ خَطَاطِيفٌ وَكَلَالِيبٌ. That in it will be hooks and tongs and spits that are like the thorns of a tree in Najd that is called السَّعْدَان. So السَّعْدَان is a tree in Northern Arabia that has long, spiky thorns, very problematic, very difficult. So the Prophet is saying that the hooks there are actually going to have thorns on them. It's not just a hook on it. Rather, the hook itself has thorns on it. And then the believers are going to pass by. فَيَمُرُّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ كَطَرْفِ الْعَيْنِ وَكَالْبَرْقِ وَكَالْرِيحِ وَكَالطَّيْرِ وَكَأَجَاوِيدِ الْخَيْلِ وَالرِّكَابِ فَنَاجٍ مُسَلَّمٍ وَمَخْدُوشٌ مُرْسَلٌ وَمَكْدُوسٌ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمٍ. So the believers are going to cross. Now this version has one order, another version has another order, and the other version in Bukhari has that the first to go will go like this, at the speed of light. At the speed of lightning, it literally goes. And then some will go like the wind. And then some will go like the bird. And then some will go like the fastest horses. And then the fastest camels. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, some of them are going to be saved without any scratches and harm. And that is فَنَاجٍ مُسَلَّمٍ. They're going to pass through without any scratches and harms. May Allah make us amongst them. وَمَخْدُوشٌ مُرْسَلٌ. There will be those that have khadash, means a scratch, but they're let go. So the hooks are going to come and scratch them, but they'll still manage to go through and get to the other side. وَمَكْدُوسٌ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمٍ. And there will be those that will be caught up and dragged and pushed into the fire of Jahannam. So there's three categories that are going to be crossing the bridge. The first, nothing happens. The second, scars, but they get to the end. And the third, those that don't make it, and they're going to be dragged into the fire of hell. حَتَّى إِذَا خَلَصَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ مِنَ النَّارِ. By the time then that the believers are now safe from the fire of hell, they've crossed over. So now the groups that have crossed over, they know who has not crossed over. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْكُمْ بِأَشَدَّ مُنَاشَدَةً لِلَّهِ فِي اسْتِقْضَاءِ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِلَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لِإِخْوَانِهِمُ الَّذِينَ فِي النَّارِ. It's a very powerful phrase over here. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I swear by the one in whose hands is my life, that there will be none amongst you that will be more eager to claim a right than the believers on the day of resurrection for their brethren who have been in the fire of hell. Meaning, what is all of this talking about? I'll paraphrase. No one will argue more passionately than the believers in front of Allah to save their brethren. You've never had a more passionate argument. You've never made a stronger case. You've never pleaded with more certainty and with more passion and with more enthusiasm. That is the time of pleading. When the believers who have passed over and they see some of their brethren that have not passed over. And so they're going to beg Allah, plead Allah, make shafa'ah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to those brethren over that they have not crossed over in the bridge. And so The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا كَانُوا يَصُومُونَ مَعَنَا وَيُصَلُّونَ مَعَنَا وَيُحُجُّونَ. The believers will say, oh Allah, those people that didn't make it, they prayed with us and fasted with us and they did hajj with us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, أَخْرِجُوا مَنْ عَرَفْتُمْ فَتُحَرَّمُوا صُوَرُهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. Allah will say to the believers that have made it over, go ahead, and take out anybody whom you recognize, and Allah will forbid the fire of hell from touching them. فَيُخْرِجُونَ خَلْقًا كَثِيرًا قَدْ أَخَذَتِ النَّارُ إِلَى نِصْفِ سَاقَيْهِ وَإِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ. A lot of people will be brought out from Jahannam, and the fire of hell would have gone to the middle of their shin, or maybe even to their knees. The fire of hell would have gone to their shin, or maybe even to their knees, but it would not have gone to their actual bodies. It would not have gone to their actual shapes. And so a lot of people will be taken out, and they will say, رَبَّنَا مَا بَقِيَ فِي أَحَدٌ مِمَّنْ أَمَرْتَنَا. They will say, oh, our Lord, no one is left that you have commanded us to take out. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, irji'u, go back. فَمَمْ وَجَدْتُمْ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ دِينَارٍ مِّنْ خَيْرٍ فَأَخْرِجُوهُ. Whoever you find who has one weight, silver's weight, dinar, which is like a coin's weight of good, take him out. So they're going to take out a large group of people. Then Allah will say to them, then they will say that, oh Allah, that anybody you've told us to, with that condition, we have taken him out. Then Allah will say, go back, and whoever you find that has half a coin, take him out. So they will take him out, a large group of people. And they will say, oh Allah, no one whom you commanded for us to take out is left. Then Allah will say, go back, and if you find anybody who has a mustard seed, mithqalu dharra. Now the phrase mithqalu dharra, we in Arabic, it basically means the smallest amount, because a mustard seed, if you've ever seen it, it is the smallest seed. And so we can say an atom's weight, or the smallest amount of khair, take him out. And so they will take out a large group, and they will say, oh Allah, we have left no one according to your conditions. Here, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri paused the hadith, and he said, if you don't believe me, then read the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِنْ تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah does not wrong anyone, and whoever has an atom's weight, even of a good deed, Allah Azza wa Jal will exaggerate that and give it more, and He will give a great reward because of that. Then he goes back to the hadith. Then Allah will say, the angels have interceded, and the prophets have interceded, and the believers have interceded, and the only one who is left is Arhamur Rahimeen, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful of all who have mercy. Then Allah will take out a handful. فَيَقْبِضُ قَبْضًا. In our language, قَبْضًا, for human beings, you take something with our hands, that's a قَبْضًا. For the sake of Allah, for the haqq of Allah, we don't know how it is. It is going to be a قَبْضًا of Allah, and the قَبْضًا of Allah cannot be compared with anything that we know, but it will be a large amount, more than we can imagine. And Allah Azza wa Jal will take out a handful of people who have never done any good. لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطْ. Now this group of people, the other believers did not even recognize them. None of the believers recognized them. And they have not done any good worthy of mention. And yet Allah Azza wa Jal knows that they have something that is worthwhile that is in them. And so they shall be taken out by the mercy of Allah, by the shafa'ah of Allah. قَدْ عَادُوا حُمَمًا. They have been burnt to a crisp. They have been burnt into complete charcoal. They are completely burnt. فَيُلْقِيهِمْ فِي نَهْرٍ فِي أَفْوَاهِ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَالُ لَهُ نَهْرُ الْحَيَاةِ. These people will be thrown into a river in heaven that is called the river of life. And فَيَخْرُجُونَ كَمَا تَخْرُجُ الْحِبَّةُ فِي حَمِيلِ السَّيْلِ. فِي حَمِيلِ السَّيْلِ. They shall sprout from this river. They shall sprout from this river the way that a seed, it sprouts forth that has been carried from the silt of a flood. So it's a very interesting metaphor that the Prophet is giving, that imagine a seed is lying in the dust and people ignore it. And then the rain falls and the rain comes and it carries these seeds and it carries it to a fertile soil. And then it plants it somewhere. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَلَا تَرَوْنَا كَتَكُونُ إِلَى الْحَجَرِ أَوْ إِلَى الشَّجَرِ مَا يَكُونُ إِلَى الشَّمْسِ أُصَيْفِرْ وَأُخَيْضِرْ وَمَا يَكُونُ مِنْهَا إِلَى الظِّلِّ يَكُونُ أَبْيَضْ. The Prophet said, don't you see that if the seed comes under the stone or near the tree, don't you see that when it comes out, close to the stone or the tree, that if it is facing the sun, it's going to be slightly yellow or slightly green. And if it is under the shade, then it will be slightly white. So he's very specifically saying that these seeds, they will have different colors depending on where they are planted. And the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, كَأَنَّكَ كُنْتَ تَرْعَى الْبِلْبَادِيَةِ. It is as if you used to tend flocks in the desert. And of course he did. He is speaking this hadith in his 60s. And when he was a teenager, 40 years before this, he was a shepherd. So he knows very well the different types of trees and the different types of colors that happen. So he's describing it in that detail. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, hadith is winding down, they shall be taken out like pearls, and they shall have seals around their necks. And the people of Jannah will know and recognize these people. And the people of Jannah will say, هَؤُلَاءِ عُتَقَاءُ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ أَدْخَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَلٍ عَمِلُوهُ وَلَا خَيْرٍ قَدَّمُوهُ. These are the ones whom Allah freed. And they were entered into Jannah without any good that they have done. Allah chose them to be in Jannah, and they didn't earn anything of Jannah. So Allah freed them from His pure mercy. They are called the عُتَقَاء of Allah, and the utaqa means the one who have been freed by the compassionate one. And Allah Azza wa Jal will tell these people that udkhulu al-jannah, go ahead and enter Jannah, and whatever you find in there, it is for you. Whatever is left, whatever is there, it is for you. And so they will thank Allah and say, رَبَّنَا أَعْطَيْتَنَا مَا لَمْ تُعْطِ أَحْدَ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Oh Allah, you have given us that which you have not given any other person. What is that? To be entered into Jannah without any good deeds. This is a blessing that Allah is going to give a group of people. They're going to be the last batch to enter Jannah. No batch enters Jannah after them. And so Allah will say, I have something even more precious than this. They will say, what is more precious than what you have given us? You know, you saved us from Jahannam. We're in Jannah now. We have everything we can see around us. And Allah will say, Ridaya, my pleasure. From now on, I shall never be angry for all of eternity. Now, this is a beautiful, very, very long hadith, and I wanted to do this because it is one of the fundamental hadith of this chapter, and we should be aware of it. And remember, it is in Bukhari and Muslim. Now, I want to extract from this hadith a number of benefits, and of course, much more can be said. Of the benefits that we extract from this very beautiful hadith is that the real division amongst mankind is not based upon skin color, or the place of birth, or heritage, or passport, or ethnicity, or language, or where you live. The real division is based upon the religion, based upon the God that you worship. And that's something you choose. Nobody, this is something, that where you're born, and your skin color, and your heritage, you cannot choose that. And to divide people based upon that is utterly superficial. It is paganistic. It is jahiliyyah. Why would you discriminate against somebody based upon something that is not in his control? Isn't that so shallow? But the Sharia does not do that. And that's why in terms of race and in terms of culture and in terms of heritage and in terms of skin color, all of humanity is equal. Who cares what the color of your passport or the color of your skin is? How are you divided on the Day of Judgment? It's not going to be based upon nation states. Oh, those of you who are so obsessed with your heritage, with your skin color, with your nation state, overcome this superficiality. It is jahiliyyah. It is the essence of paganism. Concentrate more on your primary identity, and your primary identity by which and through which you shall be recognized and you shall be separated is the identity of your faith. What you believe, what you consider sacred, the God that you worship, that is what defines you. And so be careful that you don't take these superficial other things and make them the primary. Yes, there's nothing wrong with recognizing your heritage and your passport and your skin color, you know, as long as you're not looking down at other people. We all have our heritages, but it is definitely wrong to make those the end all and the be all. And anybody who does so, you have taken those things as your primary demarcation, and on the Day of Judgment, that's not the primary demarcation. Also, we learn here that exactly what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person shall be with those whom he loves and worships. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. So if you loved Allah, you'll be resurrected with those who worshipped Allah. If you love the believers, if you identify with the believers, you'll be resurrected with the believers. Of the benefits as well that we see over here is that even the rejectors from the Ahli Kitab are better than the idolaters from the mushrikeen. And this is demonstrated by the fact that they remain when everybody else goes. And then, of course, because they rejected Allah, so then they too are going to go to Jahannam. But in this world and in the Akhirah, certain perks and privileges are given to the Ahli Kitab, even those that rejected the other prophets. Obviously, the Ahli Kitab that were righteous and believed in their prophets at the right time frame, they are Muslims. We're talking about the Ahli Kitab who were not loyal to Allah. They are still better than the ones who worshipped statues and stones, because the worship of Allah through the religions of the Ahli Kitab is still infinitely more logical and rational than the worship of a stone that you carve or an idol that you yourself have created. Also, another benefit that we get from this hadith is that the wicked of the believers and the hypocrites of the believers, just like they enjoyed the physical companionship of the believers and the perks of the ummah, so too they will enjoy it for a period of time. At the end of the Day of Judgment, they will all be together, but then separations are going to occur. And how will those separations occur? So the munafiqun, or the hypocrites, they will not even get to the sirat, because they're not going to even be able to get there. And the sinful of the believers, they shall get to the sirat, and some amongst them are going to fall into Jahannam. We also learn from this as well that there is going to be a final test, a final mini test on the Day of Judgment. And that mini test is that the believers are going to be left for a period of time in suspension, in suspense, I should say, not knowing what is going on. They don't know what is going on, where all of the other false religions, they have been taken into Jahannam. Their false gods have led them into Jahannam. And no one will be left on the plains of the Day of Judgment other than the believers. And the panic will rise amongst the mainstream groups of people and the mainstream believers, meaning the average Muslim. They're going to be wondering what's going on. Then they will see an entity and not recognize that entity to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the entity says, "I am your Lord," they will seek refuge and they will say, "No, we never did shirk in this world. We're not going to do shirk now, subhanallah." So there's one final test that when they don't recognize Allah and they think that this entity is not Allah, and so they say, "We cannot worship you. We were firm in this dunya. How can we now turn back in the akhirah?" And this shows us that those who are committed to iman and taqwa, and those that are firm in this dunya, Allah will bless them in the akhirah as well. Now, we also have to mention here that indeed the average Muslim might be worried or concerned or in suspense. However, not from this hadith, but from generic texts in the Quran, we learn that the righteous amongst the believers are not going to be in any panic or suspense. We learn that the righteous, the muttaqeen, the highest category, and these are the as-sabiqoon as-sabiqoon. These are the righteous, the people of ihsan. Allah says in the Quran, "La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun." They're never going to worry. They're never going to grieve. Allah says in the Quran, "Inna alladhina sabaqat lahum minna al-husna ulaka anha mubadun." Those who won the race, those who are at the very forefront, Allah will promise them Jannah. And then Allah says, they're not even going to hear Jahannam. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "La yahzunuhum al-faza'u al-akbar," that they're not even going to be worried on the day of the great worry. They're not even going to be worried. There is no huzn, there is no worry. So amongst this category, there will be those that have absolutely no worry whatsoever. Now, if somebody were to say, what is the wisdom of this final test that Allah is coming? And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, "I am your Lord." And the believers say, "No, you're not. We seek refuge in you. And we're not going to recognize, we're not going to do shirk in this phase when we did not do shirk before." The wisdom, and Allah knows best, is that this is the stage where the hypocrites will be separated from the pious. And the hypocrites will not be able to prostrate fully to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the wisdom here, that those who passed this test were not hypocrites. And the hypocrites will now be taken away and dragged. And so the hypocrites are gone. So who is left? The believers that had some sincerity, or more sincerity, or the most sincerity. I.e. anybody who was a genuine Muslim and mu'min, genuine iman, even if they were sinful. They were murderers, they were taking drugs, doing zina, all of that might be there. They're not righteous Muslims. They're not worshipping Allah properly. They're breaking their trust, etc., etc. But deep down inside, they believe in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And that is more precious. That kalima is more precious than any other deed ever. There's no comparison with the kalima versus anything else. So anybody who said the kalima with an ounce of iman and taqwa, they will remain over there. And of course, once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then comes to them gives them the sign, the yukshafu an saq. And again, I already mentioned that there's two or three interpretations that goes back to early Islam, but it is true to point out, and again, I try my best to not be sectarian here, but it is factually true, simply from a historical perspective, that when these controversies erupted, the first group that existed in the second and third century were those that took these traditions at their face value, and they affirmed in a manner that befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have plenty of narrations. I encourage the advanced students to look up any book, for example, Kitab al-Tawheed of Ibn Khuzaymah, who died 311, or even Kitab al-Sunnah of Abdullah ibn Ahmad, or the Kitab al-Sunnah of Abdullah ibn Battah al-Uqburi, and other of these early books that predate the other trends that come. Nonetheless, it is my position that we should not make these issues one to become obsessed with, and it is a mistake, in my opinion, it is a mistake for our preachers and our theologians to resurrect these issues and teach the Muslims to hate other groups of Muslims based upon these theoretical abstract issues. More important, dear Muslim, more important than understanding يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ is the next phrase, فَلَا يَبْقَى مَنْ كَانَ يَسْجُدُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِهِ. Anybody who did sajda from his own accord will not remain standing, but rather be in sajda. Rather than debate what is the meaning of yukshafu an saq, let's do sajda to Allah sincerely, so that whenever that happens, we will be in the group that does sajda. And this is, I think, the biggest mistake of those theologians, and may Allah forgive me, I was also amongst them many, many years ago, that your teachers teach you to be obsessed about these issues, and then you teach your students to be obsessed, and you don't see the forest for the trees, and you just become in your own little network and circle and echo chamber, and you have to step out of it and realize, subhanAllah, both sides need to just stop exaggerating the differences. In the end of the day, we believe in Allah, and Allah is one, and Allah is perfect, and we worship Allah in the same manner, and we believe in the same Prophet. Let's look at what is common rather than what is not in common. And more importantly than how we interpret the attributes is what is the purpose of the attribute. And here the purpose is we do sajda to Allah sincerely in this world. Another point to benefit in these narrations is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the bridge is going to be placed over Jahannam, and then the shafa'ah will be allowed. Now, this is a very clear indication that the shafa'ah of the believers will take place at this stage. As for the shafa'ah of the prophets, we already mentioned when I talked about shafa'ah in a lot of detail that the shafa'ah of the prophets is multiple levels and it will take place at different time frames. So the shafa'ah of the prophets, some categories have already come and some categories are going to come along with the believers. But the rest of the believers, the shafa'ah begins after the bridge is set up and they cross over it. That is when their shafa'ah begins. And this is befitting, because only when the believer has known that he himself is being saved can he then argue on behalf of somebody else, right? So this is, now some have said, and again this is all ilm al-ghayb, some have said that this is one type of shafa'ah and the believers might have another type before this time frame. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. All of this is something that we really do not know for sure. So, and by the way, next lesson, inshallah, we'll talk about the issue of the bridge and the sirat in a lot of detail. Another thing that is very interesting, in one version of the hadith, in one version of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, two things will stand next to the bridge as people pass by, encouraging and affirming those people. I.e., two things will act as helpers for those that cross the bridge. This is very important because we want to cross the bridge with certainty. We want to cross the bridge with firmness. What are those two things? Listen to this. Al-amanatu wal-rahimu. Trust and family. Were you a trustworthy person? Did you fulfill your promises? Did you act in an ethical manner, whatever you did? Well then, if you did, trust will come and support you as you cross the bridge. Family.
How are you with your family? How are you with your parents, your siblings, your children? How are you with your extended family? Were you a loving father, son, daughter, brother? Were you a person who fulfilled the ties of kinship? Were you one who went out of your way to make sure your family was taken care of if you also were able to take care of them? Or were you one who cut off the ties of kinship? If you were a good family member, then family itself will support you as you cross over. The concept of family will support you as you cross over the bridge. Another point of benefit we gain from this is that the prophets themselves are worried about their ummah. And we learn in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ himself is going to be standing at the end, at the other side. And he's going to be saying, or some say at the beginning before you cross over, Sallim Allahumma Sallim. That, O Allah, peace, O Allah, grant peace, O Allah. Grant peace to those that are crossing over. And this indicates the love that all prophets had, and especially our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at every stage of the Day of Judgment, when he is giving water with the hawd, when the mizan is being placed, when things are happening, he's at every stage. At the very beginning, he's making shafa'a, and at the very end, he is making shafa'a. So from the beginning to the end, our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned about his ummah. He's concerned about all of us. And so he is making shafa'a, and he is saying, Sallim, Allahumma sallim. O Allah, peace, O Allah, peace, security, O Allah. And therefore, there is no question that some people will be saved from Jahannam at this very end by the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, another very interesting point, and this is something that not a lot of people talk about, so this is going to be something new to almost all of you. It's a very interesting point. We will come back to this point, inshallah, in a future series. And by the way, I have told you before that once we finish this series, I think we will be finishing, inshallah, in maybe maybe two lectures, I think will be done. So once we finish this series, the next series is going to be Jannah and Jahannam, right? So we're going to be starting the series about heaven and hell. So we'll talk about this issue again during that series. So now I'll introduce this concept. Notice here that the sinful of the believers, they get to the Sirat and they start crossing the Sirat, and they then fall from the Sirat into Jahannam. They do not enter Jahannam from the doors of Jahannam. This indicates that the area that the believers who are sinful are going to be punished in is a different area than the main areas of Jahannam. The believers are not going to occupy the same areas that those who rejected Allah will occupy. And the believers will not be dragged into Jahannam the way that those who rejected Allah will be. And the believers will not be made deaf, dumb, and blind. And the believers will not even be punished in the same manner as those who rejected Allah and His Messenger. Not same are those who believe versus those who reject. لا يستوي, not at all. They are not the same. Those who believe in لا إله إلا الله, even if they commit sins, versus those who reject the kalima. Also, the interesting point over here as well is that the justice, the infinite justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is demonstrated over here as well, that the people, that the believers are going to benefit from safety and security to the very end. And then if they're not worthy of crossing over, then they're going to be taken into Jahannam. And of course, they'll be taken in by the hooks coming in and making them fall into Jahannam. And therefore, what we also learn over here, the Quran mentions that those who enter Jahannam from the doors of Jahannam, they will never exit Jahannam. ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها. Notice this technicality. Enter the doors of Jahannam to remain therein forever. Somebody can say, if they read this verse, how can Allah say remain therein forever when there will be groups of people, as we just heard in this hadith, that Allah Azza wa Jal will save, and they will enter Jahannam? And the response is, they will not enter Jahannam through the door, through the gates of Jahannam. No, the gates of Jahannam are reserved for the worst of the worst. As for the sinful of the believers, they will not enter the actual Jahannam, the same place of Jahannam, I should say, that the the rejectors are occupying. Neither will they enter Jahannam through the doors of Jahannam. Rather,
As the Prophet ﷺ said, وَعَلَى حَافَّتَي الصِّرَاطِ كَلَالِيبٌ مُعَلَّقَةٌ مَأْمُورَةٌ بِأَخْذِ مَنْ أُمِرَتْ بِهِ. On both sides of the sirat, there will be hooks that are going to be taking those whom Allah command them to take. So people are crossing. And by the way, notice the infinite justice of Allah, that even the speed of crossing and the manner of crossing will be dependent on piety. And I think it's interesting, by the way, the physics side of me likes this, that the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith in Bukhari, so the first will go as fast as lightning. So he made the speed of light the fastest, right? Which is interesting, those who know. And then others after this, then the speed of the wind and then the galloping horse and the bird. So all of these are mentioned there. But it's just interesting, when he went in to set the bar as the highest, he said, they shall cross at the speed of light, kalbarqi, which is lightning. That's the fastest speed. So according to one's iman, there will be those that are running, trotting, jogging. Now obviously, the faster you're zooming, the less chance the hooks to catch you. And so when you're going super fast, the hooks are not going to catch you. Then slowly people are going to become slower and slower and slower until there will be those that are just dragging. There'll be those that are crawling even. There'll be those that are literally on their fours, the crawling with, and all of this will be proportional to their good deeds and their iman. And so be careful, dear Muslims. Your right piety and your good deeds will help you in this world all the way until the next and in Jannah. Always. Iman and taqwa will always benefit you. And you want to cross the sirat at lightning speed. So make sure you have the light of this dunya, the light of hidayah, the light of the Quran, the light of dhikr. Make sure you do whatever you can in this world to do that. Back to our point here is that the people are going to be crossing at various speeds. And then some people, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that makdusun, makdushun, some of them are going to be scratched. And this is the final aspect of punishment. There will be those who deserved a little bit of punishment, but still to go to Jannah. And this is it now. The hooks are going to come and scratch them. That punishment was for their backbiting, or their betrayal, or their hurting other people, or they did something that they deserve that last bit, because Allah's justice is infinite. But their good deeds were good enough to get them through. So there will be those that are scratched, and we don't want to be scratched by the thorns of Jahannam. But still, they're going to get in. And then there will be those that the hook comes and grabs them and literally drags them down. And that is definitely not the category we want to be in. And we already mentioned that the fact that they're dragged from the sirat, it indicates the place that they're going to be is a different place. Now also, very interesting point here, and that is that, so then there's going to be, you know, lots of people that fell over from the sirat. And there are going to be others that have crossed over to the sirat. Every single person will then do a check. Where's my friends? Where's my family? Where's the people that I know? Did they cross or not? Because they saw them on one side. And remember we said in the early part of the series, we said, that day is a very strange and interesting day. Whoever you want to see, you will see. Through the crowd, you'll see anybody you want. You think of your friend, you're going to see that friend immediately. And you will know if your friend made it or not, your brother made it or not, your partner made it or not. You will know. If they didn't make it, what's going to happen? What our Prophet ﷺ said. Now, I interpret it slightly, and Allah knows best. This is something only Allah knows. That this hadith does not indicate that all of the shafa'ah will take place right then and there. Rather, that the door of shafa'ah will open and will continue for as long as Allah will. So the people might even enter Jannah. And at some point in time, they will think of somebody whenever Allah wills, and then they will make shafa'ah later on. It does not necessarily indicate that before they get to Jannah, everybody is saved, because that doesn't make sense. People are going to be punished for different time frames in Jahannam. Rather, this is, and Allah knows best, it is my interpretation, and Allah knows best. Rather, what this indicates, the doors of shafa'ah will open up after the bridge is laid out. That's what it means. That after this point in time, for however long Allah wants, people will continue to remember their relatives, their friends, their business partners, their colleagues, their acquaintances. They'll think of somebody whenever Allah wants them to think of. And then when they think of that person, maybe even before entering Jannah, maybe even after Jannah by a period of time, they will argue with the passion and with the sincerity that you can't even imagine, as our Prophet ﷺ said. And why would you not? Now that they're safe and they know they're safe, now they have the right to beg and plead to Allah for their brethren. And notice here, very beautiful. The first category of people are going to be the ones that are removed the fastest, and also they will not be scarred. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will make the fire of hell haram upon their bodies, their suwar overall. Rather, the fire of hell will be to their shin or to their knees, so they feel the heat, but it is not actually burning them. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We don't want that. We don't want that. But compared to what's going to happen, compared to the ones that have become charcoal, obviously that's better. Who are these people? Listen to this. They will say, the believers, O Allah, those groups, they prayed with us, fasted with us, did hajj with us. Notice here, if you fulfill the five pillars of Islam, if you fulfill the fara'id of Islam, even if you have major sins, you shall eventually be interceded for and enter Jannah. The fire of hell itself shall not actually burn you. The heat of hell shall be inflicted upon the sinners of that category. And we seek Allah's refuge from that. But the actual fire of hell shall not touch somebody who regularly prayed to Allah, regularly gave charity, regularly fasted Ramadan, regularly went for Hajj. So it is essential, dear Muslim, that you fulfill the pillars of Islam. It is essential that you do all of them for the sake of Allah. And by the way, whoever fulfills the pillars for the sake of Islam automatically becomes righteous. Automatically you minimize. I mean, you know, it's impossible that you're doing all of these things and then, and not fully impossible, but almost impossible, then you're murdering people. It doesn't make sense. You don't wake up for Fajr and then, you know, go and commit the biggest crimes in the book. Generally speaking, when you're of that nature, your sins and your crimes go down. And that's why there will be some people, their sins are so much, they will go through Jahannam, but not into Jahannam. They will be punished externally, internally. I.e., the fire, as the Prophet himself said, is going to their ankles or their shins or even to their knees. But the fire itself is not going to burn them. This is explicit in the hadith. That's the first category. And that's the category that يَحُجُّونَ يَصُومُونَ and يُصَلُّونَ. So then Allah will say, go ahead and get them out. Everybody who was of this category shall be removed eventually. That's the first batch out. Okay. Then Allah will allow another category. So this is up to Allah. These stages are happening. And as I said, Allah knows best. It's not necessarily happening right now. It's going to happen at some point in time when the people are in Jannah. The next stage, if you have a small amount, you know, it's just this big. If you have that much iman, go and find them. So the believers and the angels and anybody whom Allah has allowed, they're going to scour through. How they do that, we do not know. But they're going to have some mechanism that the fire doesn't touch them. And visually, or Allah knows how, it's not something we know at this stage. They're going to swoop in or whatever and choose those people whom Allah has allowed them to choose. Because again, all shafa'a goes back to Allah. Allah has allowed them to choose people that have a coin's weight. Then after a while, Allah will say, go find people with half a coin's weight. Just a little bit. So they're going to find that. Then after a while, Allah will say, anybody who even has an atom's weight, the smallest amount, go and find them. So then all of the makhluqat that are allowed, every human being that is righteous in Jannah, every angel, every person that is allowed will go and help out and basically get rid of all of the people in Jahannam that even had an atom's weight. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, are you done? They'll say, there's nobody left, oh Allah. But then there will be a category of people. And this shows us that we should never lose hope of Allah's mercy for anybody. There are people that Allah knows why. We don't know why. They, in this world, we did not sense any good from them. But for some reason that we don't understand, there was still something deep down inside. Nobody can recognize it. So in this world, nobody recognized it. In the Akhirah, nobody will recognize it. لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطْ They never did any good deed. And this means that they never did a good deed of significance. As for not doing any good deed at all, obviously, I mean, you smile in somebody's face, that's a good deed. I mean, you were kind to your child, that's a good deed. So here we just need to understand that phrase as being a bit of an exaggeration. And of course, it's halal to be exaggerating this matter. They've never done good of significance. So those people are neither recognized in this world nor in the next world. What's going to happen? Allah will say, I know they deserve to have mercy. So Allah will take out the last batch. Now, this indicates that the batches before this have not been harmed to this level, that Jahannam and the fire of Jahannam has not burnt them to that level of crisp. And this batch has been left to the very, 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 very end of the batches are going to be removed. And that batch is going to be called Awtaqa'ullah, the people whom Allah has freed. And what are you going to do when they've been burnt to a charcoal? So then they will be taken into a beautiful river, and they'll be thrown into that river, and from the embers, from the charcoal, from the scarred bodies will come forth fresh, new, absolutely crisp and clean. And they shall have a badge of honor and a badge of distinction, that it will say that these are the Utaqa'ullah, and the believers in Jannah will recognize. And at that stage, there is no ghil or hasad or hiqd or animosity or anger or looking down. At that stage, everybody is pure-hearted. So this is a description. They're going to say, oh, welcome you people whom Allah has freed. No one has had that honor that you were given Jannah. It is an honor. You were given Jannah for no good deed of yours. And that is something that Allah has blessed you with. And so they will be asked to enter Jannah. And they will be the last batch that enters Jannah. So this is a beautiful hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. It talks about the main point of today's lecture, which we're going to conclude at, is that on this day, at the very end of this day, people will be separated based upon the God that they worship, and therefore us Muslims will be in one category because we worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single group will follow the God that it worshipped. The false gods would lead them to Jahannam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lead the believers onto the Sirat and into Jannah. Obviously, the believers will cross the Sirat and then get into Jannah. And those people who crossed over to the Sirat, they are guaranteed to get into Jannah. We still have the issue of the Sirat and the bridge and the Qantara. We'll talk about that, inshallah ta'ala, in our next lecture. Until then, Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا من أجبت دعاء نوح فانتصر وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون